I'm Alana Saarinen. I'm 13 years old, and I live in West Bloomfield, Michigan, in the United States. Some of my hobbies, I like to listen to music, I like to hang out with my friends, I like going shopping, traveling, and golfing. My dad loves to play, so he taught me how when I was around 8, and I've been playing ever since. I've gotten a hole-in-one in mini golf, but never in real golf.
In most respects, Alana is a regular teenager. She's popular, sociable. She also loves playing the piano. But beneath the surface, Alana's different. Her cells are special. They aren't like mine and yours. She's the result of an experimental scientific procedure.
Technically, I have 3 people's DNA. Of course, my birth parents, and then a third donor's mitochondria cells. Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, and I suppose it gives the cell energy.
Alana's right. Mitochondria are like tiny batteries in our cells, providing the power to keep every part of our body functioning. But mitochondria also contain a little bit of DNA. And Alana is one of 30 to 50 people in the world who, as well as having DNA from her mum and dad, like everyone else, have some mitochondria, and therefore a small amount of genetic material from a third person. She was conceived via a pioneering infertility treatment developed in the USA in the late 1990s, which a few years later was banned. But soon, there could be more people like Alana. The UK is looking to legalise a new technique using the mitochondria, where children could be born with 3 genetic parents. And if Parliament votes this through, the UK will be the first country in the world to give the go-ahead to this process. Experts say it could wipe out a number of devastating diseases, but it's not without its complications and controversies. I'm Rebecca Morrell, the BBC's science correspondent. And in this programme, I'm exploring how this cutting-edge science works, why people might want to make unprecedented changes to our genetic makeup, and what the implications of doing this might be.
Oh, I was so elated. I remember the day, I remember sitting in bed and talking to the nurse, and when she told me I was pregnant, I just broke down crying, and I automatically called up my family and my friends. I'll never forget that day.
This is Sharon Saarinen, Alana's mum. She had problems conceiving and had been trying to have a baby for nearly 10 years.
It's hard to explain to someone, but I didn't feel like a whole person. I felt maybe worthless sounds extreme, but worthless, you feel like a failure that you couldn't conceive. I felt guilty because I couldn't give my husband a child, and he didn't want to adopt, and I had to respect the decision. So when you want a biological child and you can't have one, you're distraught.
What Sharon and her husband tried was a radical new process called cytoplasmic transfer. It was created by Dr. Jacques Cohen.
I'm from the Netherlands. Can't get rid of that accent. I call myself a clinical embryologist because I think that's what I am by training. But I'm also a researcher, so I've been involved in several of the technologies over the years, embryo freezing, assisted fertilization, assisted hatching. The most controversial one is obviously cytoplasmic transfer.
Cytoplasmic transfer was an experimental IVF technique Dr. Cohen and his team at the St. Barnabas Institute in New Jersey thought would help women like Sharon, who were having difficulties conceiving.
If you look at every cell in the body, it consists of 2 main components, the nucleus, which contains the DNA and the chromosomes.
Right, back to biology. Every cell, including a woman's eggs, has a nucleus at its centre. And this contains almost all of our DNA, the genetic information we've inherited from our parents. And the nucleus sits in a jelly-like substance called cytoplasm.
And the cytoplasm, which is the juice around it, the soup around it, and that contains many different structures and substances, proteins, messengers that organise the cell.
These substances Jacques is referring to include things like mitochondria, which he thought might not be working properly in women like Sharon and therefore might be preventing them from getting pregnant. So what he did was to take some cytoplasm containing mitochondria from a younger woman's egg and then inject it into the egg of the woman who was having trouble conceiving. Her partner's sperm was then injected at the same time to fertilize the egg.
This was done in 28 couples, and it was done in 33 attempts. That means that some of these couples returned for a second attempt after the first one failed. And of those, 12 became pregnant. And the end result was that 17 babies were delivered.
So 17 babies, some twins, were born from his clinic who could have DNA from three people, the original couple and some mitochondrial DNA from the donor woman. What happened next, though, caused some concern.
So at the time of birth, they were all fine. If we look at the events that occurred in early pregnancy, there was one early miscarriage, which was, considering that there were 12 pregnancies, kind of an expected number.
They think that the miscarriage was caused because the fetus was missing a sex chromosome, the X chromosome.
There was another twin pregnancy where one of the fetuses was considered entirely normal in terms of chromosomes, whereas the others also had a missing X chromosome. So that was two out of the number of fetuses, small group of fetuses that was obtained from this procedure. So this did worry us, and we did report that very early in the literature as well as to our ethical and internal review board that oversees these procedures. At the time of birth, the babies that were born were normal, and it was only after a year or two that one boy of a twin pregnancy developed early signs of pervasive developmental disorder, which is a range of cognitive diseases, which also includes autism.
Dr. Cohen says it's difficult to know whether these abnormalities happened by chance or were due to the procedure. But other clinics, such as the one Alana Saarinen was conceived at, took up this pioneering technique, and around 30 to 50 babies were born around the world. But after 4 years, the regulators in America asked the clinics to stop because of safety worries. All of them did.
Yeah, there was a reaction from scientists, ethicists, from the public at large. And then there is a small group of scientists that felt that this was so-called germline genetic modification.
What germline means is that changes to the genetic code through this procedure would be inherited by the next generations. So a child born with DNA from three people would pass their unusual genetic code down to their children, and their children would pass it on to their children, and so on. The genes of all future generations would be altered forever. This is the part of the technique that some people find really concerning. Nothing like this has ever been done before, except with children like Alana, so no one knows what the outcome could be. Sharon Saarinen, her mum.
Once she was born healthy, I couldn't have asked for a better child. She's very intelligent, and she's a beautiful girl inside and out. She loves math and science. Always been healthy. Never anything more than the basic cold or maybe a flu every now and then, and no health problems at all.
And Alana does seem fine, but most of the children born from this technique were never followed up, and little is known about how they've developed. Now there are efforts to track them down, and that's because soon others may be born with DNA from three people. This time, though, it's not to tackle infertility, but genetic disease. The UK is looking to legalise a technique called mitochondrial replacement. It should be stressed that it's not the same procedure that the Saarinens went through, but its results, children with three genetic parents, will be the same. At the forefront of the science is Professor Doug Turnbull and his team from Newcastle University. I met him in his lab.
The UK is one of the leaders in this area of science, and certainly we've been championing this sort of technology. And I think the rest of the world are waiting to see what the UK is doing.
In the UK, mitochondria replacement will be used only for those who have defects in their mitochondria and as a result can pass down debilitating genetic diseases to their children.
These diseases tend to involve tissues or organs which are heavily dependent upon energy. Things like the brain, and sometimes it involves the heart, sometimes it involves the skeletal muscle. So these conditions can come on and they tend to be progressive and can lead to significant, not only death, but significant morbidity. Very bad heart problems which cause the heart to fail eventually can be very weak. They can be in a wheelchair, they can require respirators, and clearly with the brain involvement, they can get epilepsy, strokes, and eventually get severe dementia as a result of